The scripture reading today comes from the second chapter of Luke's Gospel. Let's begin with verse 21 rather than verse 22. Beginning with verse 21, we add a second scene to today's scripture reading, though it's described very briefly. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. When 8 days had passed, Jesus' parents circumcised him and gave him the name Jesus. This was the name given to him by the angel before he was conceived. When the time came for the ritual cleansing, in accordance with the law from Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. It's written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male who will be dedicated to the Lord. They offered a sacrifice in keeping with what's stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. A man named Simeon was in Jerusalem. He was righteous and devout. He eagerly anticipated the restoration of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. The Holy Spirit revealed to him that he wouldn't die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Led by the Spirit, he went to the temple area. Meanwhile, Jesus' parents brought the child to the temple so that they could do what was customary under the law. Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God. He said, "Now, Master, let your servant go in peace according to your word, because my eyes have seen your salvation. You prepared this salvation in the presence of all peoples. It's a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and a glory for your people Israel." His father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This boy is assigned to be the cause of the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that generates opposition, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your innermost being too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, who belonged to the tribe of Asher. She was very old. After she married, she lived with her husband for 7 years. She was now an 84-year-old widow. She never left the temple area, but worshipped God with fasting and prayer night and day. She approached at that very moment and began to praise God and to speak about Jesus to everyone who was looking forward to the redemption of Israel. When Mary and Joseph had completed everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to their hometown, Nazareth, in Galilee. The child grew up, became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What a bother. This whole Christmas thing is such an inconvenience. It starts earlier and earlier every year. There's the decorating, schlepping all of the boxes from the garage, rearranging furniture in your living room to make room for a tree that you may or may not have trudged through the woods to cut down. Add to all of that, family. Arranging schedules, hauling out the extra tables and chairs, traveling, regardless of the weather. And then there's the inconvenience of church. Trying to get preschoolers to stand still and sing loudly for all to hear, showing up at not one, but 2 services, and on Christmas Eve, regardless of the weather. But isn't that just like the church? Seemingly looking for and always finding new ways to be an inconvenience to our lives. As if the church didn't already have enough old ways to inconvenience us. More ways to ask for our time, our energy, and our money. More commitment. More sacrifice. More inconvenience. It's always been the same with the church, with faith, really, whatever faith you want to talk about. The gospel passage for this morning relates 2 of only about 6 Facebook memories from the childhood of Jesus. If I were editing the Gospel of Luke, which my wife reminds me I am not, I would put an asterisk beside today's passage. I think Mary might approve of such punctuation. Mary might feel like adding an asterisk to those Christmas cards we recently exchanged as well. Mary would tell us that there's a whole lot more to the story than those cards lead us to believe. There was more than the sweet baby asleep on the hay, more than halos gathered around the blessed family. Yes, there was a whole lot more to Mary's story. For Mary, there was feelings of servitude and oppression from Rome, who forced the untimely journey to Bethlehem. Maybe feelings of dejection of those who relegated her and her newborn son to a stable. Feelings of fear that every new mother surely has about raising their child, much less a child that she had been told would be the Savior for all people. Mary might want to put an asterisk beside this passage so as to warn those who are drawn to her son's story but who are not Jewish would better understand what was involved in pulling off all that she had to do. Maybe she would especially want to put an asterisk there for her own people. She would want us to be mindful not only of mangers filled with hay, cattle lowing, and angels singing. She might want to call our attention to the practical day-to-day inconveniences of motherhood, of raising a child, a Jewish child. The passage, by adding verse 21, has two distinct events squeezed together as if they were almost one. But Mary would point out, maybe with a bit of drama, that there are two events in this passage, not just one. The first one happened when Jesus was 8 days old. At 8 days old, she had to take her son to be circumcised. The other event was when Jesus was 40 days old. Another service, another ritual, another trip to the temple, which, by the way, is the setting of more than half of those few stories we have of Jesus' childhood. Maybe Mary would say, it felt like we were always having to drag him to temple constantly. What an inconvenience. Why bother? Why be inconvenienced with it all? Mary would just as quickly respond to us, because it matters. At 8 days old, she had to take her son to be circumcised. It was on that day that he was given the name Jesus, just as the angel had said. Undoubtedly, it was a tender moment, made more special as her son was received not only into the tribe of Judah, not only into the family of David, but into the very narrative of God's redemptive story. The second trip to temple was, like the first, made in keeping with her faith. It was in the presentation, as this passage is known, that the firstborn Jewish sons who belonged to the Lord were redeemed with a sacrifice or a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons and dedicated to God's service. It was important to Mary and Joseph. It mattered, and it was worth the bother. Appearing in Mary's time hop of Jesus' presentation at the temple were two other figures, Simeon and Anna. Their voices are heard raising songs of praise and proclamation, words that ring somber with wisdom and bitter with foreshadowing, words of blessing, words they needed to say, words Mary and Joseph needed to hear. They were words that mattered. Why bother? Mary would tell us, when it comes to the inconveniences of life, sometimes it's worth it, because sometimes it matters. It mattered that she took time to keep the traditions that would set her focus on the tasks of raising her son, her special son. It would matter to her son, who would have stories told to him that laid the foundation of his life and of his own faith. Why bother with inconveniences of faith? Why drop whatever we're doing to better ourselves or enjoy our lives on Sunday morning and other random times throughout the week? Why set aside life's simple pleasures and leisure in order to attend worship or other church programs? Why listen to someone else's music, stuff we may never put on our personal playlist? Why gather with people who would only find themselves together at church to listen to stories that we've heard time and time again, stories that we may or may not believe? Why give of our hard-earned money to support the ministry of a congregation? Because it matters. Like every memory that gathers about the ornaments we hang on our Christmas tree, every small, fragile inconvenience matters. Like the connections that are forged in giving gifts to those we love, getting together with family and friends, we are made one with the body of Christ, our congregation, when we allow ourselves to be inconvenienced in order to be together with them. Those people who inconvenience us, wanting to see our children and tell us stories about when life has been like for them. Imagine Mary standing there at fellowship, hearing Anna's sad story of widowhood. People telling us how we should step up and be the difference that they want to see in the world that they've been waiting for. They all matter. It matters that we are given opportunity to speak, and it matters that we listen. These inconveniences are sacramental moments in which we are connected to God and to one another. These are spiritual disciplines that lift us above the smallness of our selfishness and our pride. Moments that connect us to something that is bigger than ourselves. These inconveniences call us beyond our comfort zone into places that develop our souls. Each and every one of these inconveniences of living our faith is an opportunity to encounter awe, love, wonder, and joy in our lives. What may be inconvenient today might just become a very important source of strength and hope just when we need it most. Those stories we have heard so many times before, whether we believe them or not, may offer us wisdom for living a life that is guided by the light during our dark days. Donna Schaefer once told a story in UCC Daily Devotions that speaks to the value of many of the inconveniences of our faith. She said her little brother's linen and frilled baptismal robe had hung in the coat closet of her house for decades. Her brother was now past 50. One day he called and wanted that baptismal robe. Why? Because, he said, I want it near me. Why? She asked again. I want to remember that I was presented to God and God took me in. But why now? She asked. Because, he said, life has been very hard to me. All of these inconveniences call us to stand under the transformation of the Holy Spirit, to become more the person God purposes us to become, to live a life bigger than ourselves, to lay a foundation of faith on which a troubled life can find stability, to live a life that builds meaning and purpose into our days, to find joy by being pulled away from our self-designed lives and being more connected to God and to one another. Why bother with all the fuss of Christmas? Because we find that it matters. When we take time to be inconvenienced, the peace of Christmas fills our souls and transforms our lives. Why bother with the inconveniences of practicing our faith? Mary would say, because it matters. Amen.